Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, A Brief History of Central Banking, How the Quest for Financial Stability Led to Unconventional Monetary Practices by Dominic Haines is a concise nonfiction history of central banking and monetary policy. The book traces how central banks evolved from early financial institutions into powerful actors in modern economies, linking their rise to recurring crises, state finance, and the need for monetary stability. Rather than offering a technical manual, it presents an accessible historical narrative that explains why central banking became necessary and how its tools expanded over time. The book is especially focused on the tension between stability and intervention, showing how policies once considered exceptional, such as quantitative easing and forward guidance, became part of the central banking toolkit. It also examines the institutional questions that continue to shape debate today, including transparency, independence, and the economic consequences of unconventional policy. As a result, it works both as an introduction for general readers and as a compact historical framework for readers already familiar with economics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from early money temples to modern central banks, one of the book's central strengths is its long historical arc. Haines does not begin with modern central banks as fully formed institutions. Instead, he traces the roots of monetary coordination back to early systems of storage, credit, and state-backed finance. This broader chronology helps explain that central banking did not emerge simply because economists designed it in theory. It developed because societies repeatedly needed institutions capable of stabilizing payments, managing trust, and supporting public finance. By placing central banks within a centuries-long history, the book shows that their current power is the product of gradual institutional evolution rather than a single founding moment. This perspective is useful because it reframes central banking as a response to recurring practical problems managing liquidity, preserving confidence, and preventing monetary disorder. The historical sweep also clarifies why central banks became so closely tied to national power and economic modernization. Secondly, financial stability as the main reason central banks became indispensable. The book emphasizes financial stability as the key logic behind central banking. Across different periods, governments and markets faced the same basic problem. Private banking systems could create credit efficiently, but they were also vulnerable to runs, panic, and collapse. Central banks emerged as institutions that could supply liquidity when markets froze and help prevent temporary shocks from becoming systemic crises. Haines uses this theme to connect a wide range of historical developments, showing that the search for stability was not just a policy preference, but a survival mechanism for modern economies. The book's argument matters because it explains why central banks gained legitimacy even when their powers expanded beyond what many people initially expected. Their authority grew because they were asked to solve problems that ordinary market mechanisms could not reliably handle on their own. This lens makes the history of central banking easier to understand as a sequence of institutional responses to instability rather than as a linear story of technocratic progress. Thirdly, the Great Depression and the expansion of central bank authority. A major historical turning point in the book is the Great Depression, which Haines presents as a crucial test of central banking's purpose and limits. The crisis exposed the severe cost of delayed or inadequate intervention, especially in the United States, where the Federal Reserve initially failed to prevent contraction from deepening. The later recovery effort helped solidify the view that central banks must act decisively during financial emergencies. This episode matters not only because it was economically catastrophic, but because it changed the institutional expectations placed on central bankers. After the Depression, central banks were no longer judged merely by their ability to preserve currency stability. They were also expected to actively support economic recovery and financial rescue. Haines uses this shift to show how crisis response can expand institutional power. The book therefore treats the Depression as more than a historical event. It is a formative moment in the development of modern monetary governance and a benchmark for later policy debates. Fourthly, why unconventional tools became part of normal central banking. The book gives special attention to the shift toward unconventional monetary practices, such as quantitative easing and forward guidance. These tools are presented not as isolated innovations, but as extensions of a longer historical pattern in which central banks adapt when standard interest rate policy is no longer sufficient. Haines links their emergence to the same underlying goal that shaped earlier institutions preserving stability under extreme economic conditions. This is important because it shows how extraordinary measures can become normalized once policymakers believe they are necessary to prevent larger damage. The book's treatment of these policies is historically grounded rather than purely technical. It asks why central banks felt compelled to stretch their mandates and how repeated crises encouraged experimentation. By focusing on this development, The book helps readers understand that modern monetary policy is not fixed or natural. It is a changing toolkit shaped by institutional learning, emergency response, and the practical limits of orthodox policy. Lastly, transparency, independence, and the political controversy around central banking, Haynes also addresses the institutional controversies that define modern central banking. Central banks are powerful because they influence credit, inflation, employment conditions, and sovereign finance. Yet that power raises difficult questions about democratic accountability. The book highlights tensions around transparency and independence, showing that a central bank must be insulated enough to act decisively, but visible enough to justify its decisions to the public. This balance is hard to maintain because monetary policy affects nearly everyone, while remaining technically complex and often politically contentious. The book treats these debates as intrinsic to central banking rather than as side issues. That makes the analysis more realistic, since the legitimacy of central banks has always depended on whether people trust them to use their authority responsibly. By including these controversies, the book broadens the discussion beyond historical milestones and policy tools. It shows that central banking is also a story about institutional legitimacy, public trust, and the politics of economic governance. In conclusion, this book will be most valuable to readers who want a compact but serious introduction to central banking, especially students, general readers interested in economics, and anyone trying to understand why central banks became so influential in the modern world. It offers practical intellectual value by connecting historical episodes to present-day policy debates, making complex ideas such as liquidity support, crisis intervention, and unconventional monetary policy easier to place in context. Readers who already know the basics of economics will appreciate that it focuses less on formulas and more on institutional development and policy evolution. What makes it stand out from many books in the same category is its broad historical reach combined with a clear focus on financial stability as the unifying theme. Instead of treating central banking as a narrow technical subject, it presents it as a long-running response to recurring economic fragility, political pressure, and institutional change. That combination makes the book especially useful for readers who want both overview and interpretation in a relatively concise format. If you would like to support Dominic Haynes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.